This is the regional newscast for Wednesday, August 4th. I'm Kate Redmond, in for Gavin Dahl. The order by Governor Jared Polis to require unvaccinated state workers to get tested for COVID-19 on a regular basis doesn't apply to local government workers, even though counties are a subdivision of the state. This means that county commissioners or local governments can mirror that new Polis order or even go beyond that requirement. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports Jeff Kerr, executive director of the Mesa County Public Health Department, says he's not recommending that the county implement a similar mandate, even though he's done so with his own department. There are 845 confirmed cases of the Delta variant in the county. Statewide, nearly 65% of eligible Coloradans are fully vaccinated. The Environmental Protection Agency wants to dig up 34 acres of mine tailings on the valley floor in Telluride and truck it to the east end of the valley to a repository for mine waste at the Iditarod Mill. The Colorado Sun reports Telluride locals aren't happy with the plan, but the EPA says the tailings contain high levels of lead and arsenic and present an imminent and substantial threat to human health and the environment. To move the 30,000 cubic yards of toxic tailings, EPA contractors will be driving 6 to 8 trucks an hour from one side of Telluride to the other down Main Street for the next 3 or 4 months. The Bureau of Land Management has filed a petition on behalf of the Bureau of Reclamation for the McPhee Dam and Reservoir Dolores Project. The petition requests a withdrawal of nearly 1,000 acres of public land from settlement, sale, location, or entry under all of the general land laws, including the mining laws, and almost 310 acres of national forest lands to reserve them for use by the Bureau of Reclamation in connection with the McPhee Dam and Reservoir for 100 years. The Montrose Press reports the McPhee Reservoir provides hydroelectric power generation, salinity control, flood control, recreational opportunities, and fish and wildlife enhancement. It also regulates the flow of the Dolores River for irrigation and municipal use. The filing initiates a 90-day public comment period. The public may submit comments on this petition until October 31st. Those are the headlines. The Colorado Independent Congressional and Legislative Redistricting Commissions, established by Amendments Y and Z approved by Colorado voters in 2018, are redrawing Colorado's districts this year, based on census numbers from 2020. The commission held public comment sessions on the Western Slope last week. Citizens attended in person or called in to offer comments, after which the commissioners asked them questions. The engagement is helping the commission draw the maps. They are tasked with taking into account districts having equal population, being composed of contiguous geographic areas, complying with the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965, preserving whole communities of interest and whole political subdivisions, such as counties, cities, and towns, and maximizing the number of politically competitive districts. Communities of interest is subject to interpretation. For Natasha Leger, this has more to do with our watershed.
The proposed maps basically carved the North Fork out of Gunnison County, and our watershed originates in Gunnison County. The watersheds should remain intact.
Cindy Dozier of Montrose called into the session on Friday. She did not like how the map split off parts of Delta County.
The proposed 53 in particular, please keep in mind minimizing splitting counties. And also, as was previously mentioned, the Paonia and Hotchkiss school districts need to be dealt with. The optics to me look very bad on the Garfield Mesa Delta area. It frankly appears to look like it's gerrymandered for some reason.
While the meetings going forward are all on the Front Range, there is still time to submit written comments and suggestions. The commission's website also shows the maps as they are currently proposed. Natasha Leger, who is the executive director of Citizens for a Healthy Community, says putting the North Fork Valley in the same district as Mesa County doesn't make sense, as the North Fork has worked to diversify their economy, moving away from fossil fuels, and Mesa County remains invested in oil and gas.
This redistricting process needs to be done in a way that takes into consideration how communities are going to remain resilient at a time that our climate is changing, whether you want to call it extreme weather or whether you want to call it climate change. But we are going to need a means of being represented so that we can proactively deal with these issues. I really encourage people to participate in this process. What's most important here is that we continue to have a voice. The current maps as drawn would eliminate that voice for the North Fork Valley.
Redistricting.colorado.gov is the website where the commission is taking citizen comments and recommendations. Peonia voters approved marijuana retail and medical shops in the 2020 election. Working out the details of the zoning and application process has been long and at times arduous, but the town trustees have applicants now, one of whom came in to talk with me. Dale Cecil is a 2-year Peonia resident who has applied and who had a shop in Colorado Springs. I asked him how he got into the business.
I got into the marijuana business in late 2008 and early 2009 after a change of career, after a long stint in the automobile business in sales and management. And it was something that I had never given any real thought to, but I had a business partner who's more of an entrepreneur than I am. It was just starting to pop up around. There were a few brave people in Denver who started to just open up shops because they couldn't see where Amendment 20 prohibited any sort of outlet, and so they just started doing it. I did not get into the business as an advocate, an activist, or an enthusiast. I really knew nothing about it. I quickly realized advocacy is still one of those things that if you think it helps you on a medical level, then please, by all means, pursue whatever remedies you can. And then as an activist, it becomes apparent that prohibition is just wrong. It just does not work. And as an enthusiast, I have never come back around to where it's really done anything for me. It's just one of those things that maybe I'm just too old.
I was curious how the application process was similar to what he has gone through with the Peonia Town Council.
Well, Peonia is starting anew, so they have taken their license application cues from other localities, and it's very similar. And again, they want background checks, fingerprints. You have to show that you have control of an approved location that's within their green zone or whatever, just to say it's within 500 feet of a school or a rehab center and that sort of thing. So it's very similar. Things like non-refundable fees are part of it, and that's, I think, is just designed to make sure that you're serious.
I asked Cecil why he would apply for both a retail and a medical license to sell marijuana in Peonia.
There are a couple things. One is that medical marijuana has different potency limits. It has different limits of the amount that you can have. It also has lower taxes. A couple of the council members, board members, have said that one of the reasons that they supported it was because they knew of a lot of people in the area who have a medical need and therefore a medical card and don't like the idea of having to drive to Delta or Montrose.
Medical customers tend to be locals, while retail buyers are more visitors or tourists. Cecil is closing in on a downtown location, and if his application is approved in August or September, we'll have the green light to open shop in October. And that does it for your regional newscast. I'm Kate Redmond for KVNF Radio News.